بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، today we begin the discussion of the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Majid and Al-Majid. Al-Majid, the possessor of grandeur. Al-Majid, the most venerable. We hear this very commonly in our Durood Sharif, إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكُ وَسَلِّمْ. Then other Durood come, إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. For the meaning of Majid, or Al-Majid, the possessor of grandeur. Grandeur belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most venerable. Al-Majid and Al-Majid are both derived from the word Majdun. In the word Majid, there is mubalagha, intensity. The word Majid, there is intensity. That all grandeur of the heavens and the skies belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Majd has one of two meanings. Majd refers to loftiness and honor. When you read Surah Fatiha also, it comes in a Hadith Sharif, the Surah Fatiha in reality is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. You are speaking to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. That is why some ulama prefer the Surah Fatiha be read each verse separately. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din. Because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gives you a reply, Allah answers to you. When the person says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala replies and says, Hamidani abdi, that my slave has praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim athna alayya abdi, that my slave has hymned my praises. And Maliki yawm al-Din majjadani abdi, majjadani abdi, that my slave has made me very high and lofty, has exalted me. My slave has exalted me. So this is not just in a riwayat, but it happens in every salah. Where we are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like our Hazrat tells us also, when you're making a salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, making a salam to the right, but you're not really greeting anybody. Whereas when you speak to somebody, we don't enter an empty house and you say assalamu alaykum, there's nobody there. Empty house, you say assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. There's a correct salam to make when you enter an empty house. Or when you sit in an empty car, you don't say assalamu alaykum, there's nobody there. But here when you're making salam in namaz, at the end of salah, you are making salam to the farishta on your right hand side, to the angel. But you don't make his intention. You just make assalamu alaykum, you are talking to him. You are addressing him right now. He is there. And the masail also are there. If you are the imam sahab, then you are making salam to the angel on your right hand side, and to the musallis that are there, salih al-jinn, the pious jinnat, they are there. Then you're making salam to your left hand side. Then again, assalamu alaykum. May salam be upon you or y'all. That refers to the angel. Your musalli is behind you. And then to the pious jinnat that are there. If the musalli behind the imam is directly behind the imam, then he also has to make an intention. It's not just making an empty salam. He's talking. He's referring to someone. He's addressing someone. So if he's directly behind the imam, when he's making the salam to the right, then he'll make salam to the angel on his right hand side, to the imam also, and all the musallis on his right hand side. Salam to the left will be the same. Salam is making to the angel, then to the imam sahab, and then to all the musallis on his left hand side. And accordingly, if he is sitting now to the left of the imam, imam sahab is on his right hand side, then he'll make the same intentions, and there he'll include the imam sahab also. The angel on his right, imam sahab is there, and the musallis. To the left hand side, he'll exclude the imam. So the imam sahab is there to his left. These are sunnahs. Almost you can say dead sunnahs. Nobody makes the intention. We're just making salam, salam, and namaz is over. And the adab and the etiquette of salam also, how to make the salam. Right, ulama have different discussions on how to make salam, but most of them prefer that when you make salam, you turn the head first. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Not that you start from here, but you turn the head first because you're making salam to the angel. You're not making salam anybody to the front. So you're making salam to the angel, you are addressing him first. So you'll tell like how we make hiya ala salah also. Many a time we find the muazzin making adhan incorrectly. That he starts hiya ala salah looking in front, then he goes to the right. Then he comes back to the center again. Hiya ala salah must be pronounced when you turn the head completely to the right hand side. Hayya ala falah again, to turn the head completely, hayya ala falah. And complete, when you finish your hayya ala falah, come back to the center, then go back to the left. Hayya ala al-falah, again. So here also, we turn the head completely. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Nabi alayhi salatu salam used to make salam, and he's turning his head so much to the right, to the left, that the sahabi said, I could see the whiteness of the cheek of Nabi alayhi salatu salam from behind. He wasn't just tilting the head, he was just turning it, this complete turn. Together with that, not so much that the chest also turns. So the head enough, that somebody behind you can see the whiteness of the cheek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Then a person brings his head to the center. Then the next salam thereafter. Turn the head to the left. Then assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Salam also, that's a topic of discussion. But here also, Shah Abdul Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahim wa ta'ala's sheikh, his last sheikh. When he went to his hanqa, Allah's Fazl Karam, we see there two nights. And his title, Muhyi Sunnah, the revival of the Sunnah. Very particular about Sunnat. Sunnat must be perfected. So that day we entered into the khanqa also, was it sitting on the charbai, what you see, these beds you find in India, made of wood. And he was having a special majlis. Majlis only how to make salam. He said, the ummah doesn't know how to make proper salam anymore. Such a basic thing. The hadith sharif says, afshu salam, make salam common. The word ifsha actually means to make something very, very common. Just spread it. Like they say, ifsha us sir, don't ever spread out a secret. But when it comes to salam, you must spread it like how you spread the secret. But you're not supposed to do. And Hazrat says also, if you want to spread a secret amongst the ladies, then you must just tell them, don't tell anyone. I'm only telling you. And she'll tell the next one also, I'm only telling you. And this eye will just spread like a charcha. The whisper just is a very loud whisper. It's a very loud whisper. So salam should be like that also. Salam should be like that. And unfortunately, really so unfortunate, we find Haramain Sharifain where all are Muslims. Nobody makes salam. Just pass on another. Because he's from Malaysia, or he's from Pakistan, or he's from Indonesia. So like the salam is different or something. But salam should be so common. Yes, okay, we understand. In Haram al-Madani, Madina Munawwara, a person lies in Durood Sharif most of the time. Could this be in his hand? But this salam should be very common. Salaamu alaykum. And then to salam. So when you went into the khanqa of Hazrat Shah Abdul Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh, his whole majlis is only about salam. How to make salam correctly. Now we can see how far we've gone from making salam correctly on the WhatsApp. S-L-M-Z. Salams. And different, even sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, S-E-W. Like you're putting a saw on the name of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, S-E-W. So say the entire thing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a reward for that, not peace be upon him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he has salam also, we just say, salam alaikum. And many times you ask the youngsters, oh, really was the reply? Wa alaikum salam. Sometimes somebody phones also, they just salam alaikum, oh salam. You don't know what he said really. No proper salam also. But everybody else he said very nicely. Very eloquent. Just the salam is the right. Now we've got different salams, different parts of the world, different parts of the countries. Salam is something which is global, international. As I say, such a beautiful greeting we have. This is a greeting of Jannat. Salamun alaykum. When the person enters into Jannah, the malaika will come and they'll greet him. Salamun alaykum. Salamun alaykum. May the salam of Allah be upon you. Yama sabartum fa ni'ma uqba ad-dar. Because of your sabr, what an excellent abood Allah Bak has given you now. They'll be making salam upon you. So here in the dunya already we're practicing for that salam day. Therefore we should make the salam correctly. Children are entering the home, they should make loud salam. One is the salam to enter the house. Second salam when you meet the people in the home. Hazrat says, as much as you can, make salam in the house. When you get into the car again, the wife gets into what? Other side, the children get into there, make salam again. And to the extent is mentioned also, that when two brothers are walking, two friends are walking, and a tree comes in between, and they have to depart and come back again, renew the salam. They also. There's no nuqsan. You won't get guna or sin. So much salam you're making. Yes, there are the maslas you must have heard of when a person has to sneeze. That too was just wala taught us. When you sneeze and you say Alhamdulillah. You say Alhamdulillah not so loudly also, that the whole congregation hears you and now you make it wajib on them that somebody has to reply to you. Just enough for somebody who is next to you or around you, who's not busy in something, to reply to you. This also we are taught that if people are all busy right now and you sneezed, you don't have to say it loud enough for them to reply to you. You have to reply. Now how we take it? Say so loudly that they must reply to me. So you have to say loud enough that you can hear it. If somebody else heard Alhamdulillah, then yes, he may reply to you. If he's not busy in something, he's free, then he can reply to you. So you don't obligate someone to reply to your sneeze also. And then how many times do you say Alhamdulillah? Some people now, they wake up in the morning, sometimes in Jamaat. Suddenly wakes up Fajr Namaz, and mashallah, he's going on a roll of sneezing now. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Now in your sleep too, he's making Yarhamukallah, Yarhamukallah, Yarhamukallah. And he's going on. More than three times, doesn't have to say it loudly. Say it just soft enough for himself to hear it. Doesn't have to obligate. Three times is sufficient. Not more than three times. So, you should know masail also. These are basic things we learn in maktab, but we're renewing our sabak. So when it comes to salam, they also not to make so loud salam that you obligate everyone. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so particular. The Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, when he used to enter into the house sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his salam wasn't so loud that it will disturb the sleeping ones. Nor was it so soft that those that were awake could not hear it. It was just in between. Who was awake, who was alert, they could hear the salam. And I'm getting du'as from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Even the kuffar also, the Jews also, they would endeavor, they would try, in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or passing him, they would even induce a sneeze, so that they may say, Alhamdulillah, and he may make du'a for them, Yarhamukallah, even for his du'a. So how we should be knowing our masail? So when is salam? Also when it comes to salam, we hear commonly that when you're eating, when you listen to the adhan, when you're making wuzu, then there's no salam. Because you engage now in some amal. Wudu, you're making the amal of wudu. So then you don't make salam. When you're replying to the adhan, then there's no salam. When you're partaking of meals, then there is no salam. So the teachers here also, now you entered, people are sitting, they're having a da'wat. So when you come, you don't make salam, you smile everyone, you lift your hands. Lift your hands and you go make musafaha. But musafaha means that musafaha, the correct musafaha, and what you say, shaking of hands, not to shake somebody up. The sunnat musafaha is just a hand clasp, hand in hand. You don't need to shake it also, no need to press a person's hand, you just put hand into hand. That's sufficient. The musafaha. So when a person, people are eating now, you entered, you came a bit late, now you go and shake everybody's hand. And how they shake wrist with wrist. Or the upper, the forearm with forearm. It's not a salam that. But now you eating, you put your hand like that too. But this is salam that. Yes, subhanAllah has taught us that time also. The person who walks in, he should not make salam to those that are eating. The person walks into the wuzu khana, he should not make salam to the one that is making wudu. The person listening to azan and you come in, you should not make salam to him. But the other way around can be made salam. The person who is making the wudu, he can make salam to you. Because he's engaged in the amal right now, you came and said, what happens, you hear the master that you came, can't make salam during wudu. So the person comes and sits next to you, you smile at him, you start talking after that. But you're still talking. So in that case, he can make salam with you. Person who is replying to the azan, he can make salam to you. Person eating a meal, you walked in. Acha, you're eating, I won't make salam with you. But he can make. He can do salam alaikum, come and join us. No need to shake hands. You shake hands later on now. So in that way you can make salam. So all the masail are there of salam, how to make salam, and our du'as also. So this word, innaka hamidun majid, sifat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So in salah also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, majjadani abdi, that my banda, my slave has exalted me. He regards me to be high and lofty. So majd refers to loftiness and honor. The Quran Sharif is referred to as Quran Majid. These are important things also. Our Hazrat teaches us. وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That person who regards, who gives due reverence and respect to the salient features of Islam, the salient landmarks and teachings of Islam, then this is from the taqwa of hearts. Person has taqwa in his heart. He gives respect where respect is due. And he's a saying also, Ad-deenu kulluhu adab. That whole of deen is based upon respect and adab. This is a very, very big thing in Sharia. The Thani Rahimullah would say, unfortunately sometimes, for many families, we didn't learn respect and adab. Just grew up. And sometimes also the mother would tell the child, "Why you grew up on the streets?" But now he didn't learn adab. One father also, once he was sitting by Hazrat. So one father was sitting with Hazrat also. So the little son came into the room. So father turned and told him, "Where you born in the airport?" I got a shock. I said, "Ya Allah, friend of Hazrat is saying this. What happened? Took the wife to the airport, gave birth in the airport." So I asked him, "Oh yeah, the airport." So he didn't close the door. Airport got automatic doors. So he didn't close the door, so I had to ask him, "Where is he born?" The door is automatic, he has to close it. So adab and respect, their children pick up from the parents. How the mother will speak to the father, how the father speaks to the mother, how his parents speak to their parents, and more than ever before, they pick up the habits from how we speak on the cell phone. How the children pick it up, they will pick up the right things, they'll pick up the wrong things. That's natural. As we find the child also, many times we mention, he's a righty in everything, but eating time he eats left hand. But cricket time, he holds the right hand. There he'll stand correctly. There you don't have to give him tuition. When he's playing paddle also, with the right hand he'll use it. When he goes to eat, then he goes with the left hand. How that happened? That now shaitan's influence is there. Therefore, to remind all the time, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand, and how to eat correctly, that's become a big thing right now. Children don't even know how to eat anymore, clean, properly, no adab of the food also, how to sit down, how to clean the plate, how to lick the fingers, how to eat properly. Otherwise, somebody you're eating with you, that person has some adab and respect, he gets put off. That's this boy, this girl didn't know how to eat properly. How to put the food in the mouth. We don't open the mouth so big that you put the entire hand in the mouth. How to put the food in the mouth with modesty, the sharam and haya in eating also. There's modesty in how you eat. Now, the fork and knife, that type of culture, they're not used to eating with their hands. So all these are adab and sunnahs which we have to learn. And the entire deen is based upon etiquette. The Tani Rahimullah will say, "This is what I want to teach you. Become a human. Become insan. Become refined. How to do things properly and carefully. That you don't hurt anyone. You don't make anyone feel bad that they're in your company. And then you don't know, like, simple things. How to blow your nose also in public. Somebody in the masjid and he's going on with his nose. Like the public area. Don't blow it in the wuzu khana. Not so loud also. But just amicably, close, we've got a handkerchief also, close the nose completely, then blow it. So all these things are part of adab and respect in public, how to carry yourself out. So as you mentioned, on the phone we're speaking, so automatically they'll pick it up, how the father is speaking, how he's greeting, whether he made salam, whether he said inshallah also. He didn't hear the father entire conversation one time saying inshallah. Or saying Bismillah, or taking the name of Allah, Alhamdulillah. Even you're speaking to a non-Muslim also. Nothing wrong. Say Inshallah. Even they learn it. Nowadays you're speaking to them, they know, bhai, Inshallah, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah. Even they're saying it. If they have to cut a deal with you, you're doing your burglar guard, or you're doing something outside, so he said, "Bhai, don't worry, Inshallah, we'll finish it." They think, "Bhai, what happened to you? Muslim, not Muslim?" He said, no. All my friends are Islam was there, and all Muslims. So I learnt it also. So they know it, and they want to say it. And he tells you Jazakallah, and you tell him thank you. You'll tell him thank you, he'll say Jazakallah. So they want to become like us, and then we want to follow them, and we don't even take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salam, bismillah, all these are important things we teach our children. So adab and respect is such a great thing. As the Thani Rahmatullah Ali mentioned in regards to adab, respect, etiquette, he would say that the evil effects, the evil outcome, evil effect of bi'adbi. Bi'adbi we say disrespect, no etiquette. So we have adab and bi'adab. Person has respect, adab, or bi'adab doesn't have respect. So he will say that the evil effects of bi'adbi, of disrespect, say many a times is worse than sin also. Is worse than sin. Because most of the time sin is something which is infiradi, you got to do with yourself. You are sinning within your own capacity. When it comes to bi'adbi, disrespect is always involves somebody else. And it is there, sometimes the evil effect, evil outcome is worse than sin also. Like he would say, facing the feet towards the qibla, we'll say, makruh is bi'adbi, disrespectful. To face your feet towards the qibla, to face your feet towards your parents, to face your feet towards somebody elder, senior, your ustaz, to face your feet towards a hafiz al-Qur'an, or to the Qur'an Sharif itself. So all these things are disrespectful, that a person faces his feet towards those things, or to face the back sometime. As far as possible, we try not to face back towards elderly people, honorable people, asatiza, and our mashayikh. This is respect for them. And at the same time, we don't make so much takalluf and formality. The people feel like you're so afraid of him. Who is he, some god or something? We do it naturally. Muhammad, I respect him. Out of respect. So, when it comes to these things, Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, that facing, he gives this example, person facing his feet towards the Qibla, he says the Baytullah is giving off positive radiation. Noor, which is called Noor. Noor from where? The Jalli of Allah. The Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Noor is coming upon the Baytullah, and now you are opposing it with your disrespect. He says, what will happen? You got a positive and you got a negative. This is going to be an explosion. Like you put a steel pot in a microwave. It's also radiation. So Baytullah is giving off positive radiation. And you are giving off now negative radiation. You're going to get kicked out. Therefore, respect is so important. And now Hazrat says, we go to Baytullah, Haramain Sharifain. Even our homes also. Now the toilets are already bull faced towards the Qibla. The showers also. The showers, you shouldn't stand or shouldn't stand in the first place. That's sunnah. So even changing, having a shower, having a bath, going to the toilet, istiqbal and istidrar, both are impermissible. To face your front towards the Qibla and to face the back towards the Qibla when you're unclothed. That's permissible. This is bay adab, this is makruh. The person is changing in the bedroom also. You should make sure his back is not facing towards the Qibla. And make the children away also. Tell the child, turn this way, don't face towards the Qibla. So he'll grow up with this. I mustn't face the Qibla with my front or my back. When I'm in the toilet, whether I'm changing clothing, whether I'm having a bath. So whenever I'm unclothed, it shouldn't be that I'm facing. Even the toilet also. Now sometimes we say we can't change the direction of the toilet. But we can turn a little bit. We can turn a little bit and we can change our direction. It is a little bit off the Qibla. So there we are but careful. Haramain Sharifain also. Sometimes they're not particular, but the toilets, which way is facing, sometimes the bed is facing towards the Qibla. Now people say, now how are we going to steal? Qibla is straight this way, the bed is facing that way. Now, this is not taklif now. This is not taklif. This is muhabbat and love. This is respect. Then now you put your pillow on that side, let your feet face towards the headboard. You won't get guna. You get sawab for it, inshallah. And how much are you going to steal? Few hours and you're up again. So these things we should be particular about then, building our homes, when we're going out somewhere, that when it comes to respect and adab, Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. So the person who has due respect and reverence to the sha'air, sha'air Allah, to the salient landmarks, features of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says, this is from the taqwa. Allah declares, you've got taqwa in your heart. So how to show respect? Hazrat teaches us. When you say Quran, you say Quran. Say Quran Sharif, Quran Majid, Ramadan Sharif, Haramain Sharifain. The two honorable harams. So you say Makkah, Makkah. You don't say I'm going to Makkah. I'm going to Medina. Is that like Durban or Joburg? These are the best places in the world, in the universe. I'm going to Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mu'azzama. So we use some word of respect with it. Like with the name of Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't say Allah. Say Allah Jalla Jalalu, Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are all things of respect. So we take it with grandeur also. When we start like this, now we take it correctly, at least the names of these things, and the taqwa will come in the heart. Then we say Quran and Majid, Quran Sharif, the Honorable Quran. We don't say the Holy Quran. They call it the Holy Bible. We don't say Holy Quran. We say Quran Sharif. Quran Majid. We don't say the holy month of Ramadan. We say Ramadan Sharif. Alright. So we try and we attach these words of honor and respect. This shows the amount of taqwa we have in the heart. How much of reverence we have for these things is how we speak it. When you say it correctly, then it shows person has taqwa. He learned it. So now he's speaking correctly. Now when we go to these places, Allah Ta'ala accordingly opens our hearts. Then you give so much of respect for it, so much of muhabbat for it. I said, you Quran Sharif, you kiss it. You put it in your eyes, on your head, on your heart. Ya Allah, I love this Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala, subhanAllah, Hazrat mentioned also, that the best ibadah is salah. And the best form of praise, Allah Ta'ala put it in salah also. Nothing more worthy, no words worthy of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the words Allah Ta'ala gave us to read in salah. That's the highest form. Surah Fatiha, and before that, Thana. Subhanak Allahumma, bihamdika, wa tabarak asmuka, wa ta'ala, jadduk. Jadd comes also, same thing. From Majdun. Wa ta'ala, jadduk. Ya Allah, your loftiness is very exalted, very high. So here the Shaykh Rahimullah would say, just to ponder a little bit over Surah, our Thana when we are reciting. We are reciting our Thana, just to ponder a bit, just on this one part only if you want to. Wa tabarak asmuk. That Ya Allah, your name is full of barakat, is blessings upon blessing and most blessed. The person who will just ponder over this, Ya Allah, your name is so blessed, and I'm being allowed to take your name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill that person himself and his life full of barakat also. Just pondering, like how a person says, Subhanallah, Ya Allah, purity belongs to you, are most pure. You are free of all blemishes, taints, flaws, defects. By saying Subhanallah, Allah will not become more pure. You will become pure. By saying to Allah, Ya Allah, Subhanallah, Allah will purify you. By saying to Allah, Tabarak asmuk, Ya Allah, your name is so blessed, Allah will make you full of barakat. And then the entire creation want to be with you. You will take barakat from you. You drank water, you ate food. Hazrat says to that now they want to drink the same now. Haga, connection, rishtidar, that told you, why are you wasting your time becoming an alim? Why are you wasting your time going the path of Allah? You're wasting your life. You should get a degree, and you should do this, and you should do that. He says, you carry on doing your work. You carry on doing your work, get your khushu and khudu in salah, concentration and devotion in salah, and you become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will fill you full of barakat. To the extent that even cousin, auntie, or uncle now will come in your life a time. When they asked, when you were younger, what you going to eat? Now, when Allah Ta'ala, mashallah, because you made the effort of deen, Allah Ta'ala gave you those sifat and qualities. Now, when they told you what you going to eat, now they want to eat your leftover food, a barakat. Give us the leftover water, barakat. He says, now what happened? You said what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to drink. Now, is that mine? This is the barakat of our kabir. What is there for you and their noor and their barakat that we enjoy? They say, do this, you're doing it. Now you're running on their barakat. So his barakat being passed on and passed on generation, and the barakat is still full blast. There's nothing less in there. There's nothing less in Allah Ta'ala gave the command, be with those that are sadiqeen, that are true in the iman. So the barakat is still there completely. There's no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take it away. Allah wants to distribute it. So Hazrat mentions over here also, that the Quran Sharif is referred to as Quran Majid, as its status is very lofty. One point comes to mind also. One is having respect and reverence for these salient features of deen, landmarks of deen. As you mentioned now, Haramain Sharifain, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Right, they call it Haram Al-Sharif also, the local people. Haram Al-Sharif or Al-Aqsa Al-Sharif, they say. So together with that now, we don't go into ghulu, extremism. We go to extremism now, and when it comes to our ustaz, our sheikh, that now there's so many titles and accolades, you don't know where his name is. Sheikh al-Tariqa, Sheikh al-Zaman, Arif this and Arif. Hey, who is this person? So many sheikhs you have. No, he's one sheikh. So many titles he has. No, that's not correct. Yes, for the sake of ta'aruf. We mentioned this also a few days ago. That we put certain things there, just as ta'aruf. Just so that people understand or they recognize who he is. Not as ta'arif. It's true as ta'arifan or ta'arufan. We don't put it there as ta'arifan for a praise or for my praise. It's ta'arufan. One beautiful example has it gave us also about Sayyid Ata'ullah Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. Sayyid Ata'ullah Bukhari rahimullah was a great, one of our great akabir. Very fiery and speaker and also a great ashiq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So, Sayyid Sahab Rahimahullah, he was a Sayyid also, in the family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he came the first time to Thana Bhavan, to meet Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah alayhi, so he met Hazrat Thani, then Hazrat Thani asked him, kya naam hai, isme garami, what is your name? He said, Ata'ullah. He said, Ata'ullah kon? He said, Ata'ullah Bukhari. When Hazrat Thani heard Ata'ullah Bukhari, then he asked him, Sayyid Ata'ullah. Said, are you the Sayyid Ata'ullah? Sayyid meaning from the family of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he put his head down and he said, don't force me to say, Sayyid. He was humble and humility. Don't force me to say Sayyid. It's a royal title. I don't deserve it. So don't force me to say it. So on that, Hazrat Thami taught him something. He says, say Sayyid, ta'arufan nake ta'rifa. Say to introduce yourself, not to praise yourself. So I know who you are. Then he said it. Take care, Hazrat, if you say so, then my name is Sayyid Ata'ullah Bukhari. So they had a conversation. This was the great akabir, mashallah, how they thought one another, how they learned things. Towards the end of the mulaqat, then Sayyid Ata'ullah Bukhari rahimahullah took out a hadiyah for the Thami rahmatullah alayhi. Say, Hazrat, I brought the hadiyah for you. He said, Jazakallah khairan, Allah ta'ala bless you, but I can't accept it. It was Hazrat Thami rahmatullah's usul and principle. On the first meeting with someone who he wasn't very familiar with, then he wouldn't accept anything from him, because he didn't know what was the motivation behind it. Once he became used to someone, and the person brought it purely for some, as a hadiyah to get muhabbat, then he would accept it. But more than that, he would not accept it. Like one person came, Hazrat, he brought some salt for Hazrat. Hazrat, some salt for you, please accept it. Alhamdulillah, jazakallah, and your sahab. Hazrat took it. After he took it, then he said, Hazrat, that one taweez for me. See, that's why you brought this. Because you want taweez. So you weren't sincere in your muhabbat. You wanted something in return. You didn't want the love of Allah. So he offered him a hadiyah. Said, Ata'ullah sahab, rahmatullah alayh. Said, jazakallah khair. I accept your muhabbat, but not the hadiyah. So this way, that Hazrat, please take it, please take it. Finally, he told him, it was my father's wasiyat to me. It was his bequest to me, that when you go to ulama-i-karam, take a hadiyah and a gift and go. Then Hazrat says, take it, father give you wasiyat. But it's against my principle. I don't accept it like that. But if you will instruct me, although Sayyid Sahib was younger, so he said to Sayyid Ata'ullah, that if you instruct me and said that Ashraf Ali, I, Sayyid Ata'ullah, command you to accept this gift, then I'll take it. Why? Just because you said Sayyid Ata'ullah. Because of the word Sayyid, I'll accept it. So he smiled, and it was the Thami, that you accept the command of the Sayyid, but you don't accept his request. He said, I accept it. I'll take it wholeheartedly. Why should I command you to command? You're a Sayyid after all. I'll take it open heart. So one is now to show respect, but to show overdue respect. To show overdue respect, to go into ghulu, extremism, whether one's parents or ustaz, especially happens with mashayikh and the sheikh now. Overdue respect. That a person exceeds the bounds and hurts others also. And you find this commonly, it happens where Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's riwayat, he says Sahaba radiallahu anhu wa qallu takallufan. They had the least amount of formalities. Absolutely, they were comfortable in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those that were close to him were always close to him, they were there. But those that came from outside didn't feel uncomfortable. Those who were there and knew how to be in the majlis, alhamdulillah, they used to be there. But they never made others feel uncomfortable. They were very, very relaxed. And they were very informal. Not to the extreme of this bi'adbi also now. But sometimes there's so much extremism sometimes with mashayikh that you find that others come now, they feel uncomfortable. Hazrat mentions to sometime to put the sheikh in the room and lock the door. Hazrat is busy right now. Can't go inside. Oh, we got bodyguard here. How much is paying this guy? The sheikh doesn't know anything happening in the room. But now outside, nobody can come inside. He's waiting. He's thinking, nobody got muhabbat. Nobody's coming to sit. Nobody's coming to talk. Why is this happening now? A few will come and close the room and things like that. It's all extremism. He said, this is no place in tasawwuf. It's muhabbat and love. Nobody owes anyone. Everybody's on the journey to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that's put on a pedestal now. It's all Hazrat says that the reality is that all those that come for the program and majlis, they've come with their noor. That noor becomes one beam. That beam draws the rahmat of Allah. So just one person. It's just one person that's only given the prescription and the medication. The patients come and Allah ta'ala uses the sheikh as a dispensary. This is a dispensary. Now you close the dispensary also. Now medication is needed. It's not closed. He's sleeping. Now the time to be awake. And now he's sleeping. So there are times where a person now has his rest, has his break, but extremism, there's no place for extremism in any field of deen. Whether it be in tasawwuf, whether it be in tabligh. That's why you should hear before also, people will say, Yahi kaam hai. This is the only work to do, nothing else. Akabir will say, not yahi kaam hai. Ye bhi kaam hai. This is also an avenue of deen. Tabligh is also an avenue. Tasawwuf, tazkiyah, also an avenue. Ta'aleem and ta'allum, learning and teaching, also an avenue of deen. So all this is part of deen. And we need all the departments of deen. So there is no extremism in Sharia in deen. There is no extremism whatsoever that a person can go into extremes. Our deen is absolutely balanced and is moderate. So Al-Majid, Jalla Jalaluhu, or Al-Majid, Jalla Jalaluhu is that being who is honored, great and lofty due to his great actions, lofty qualities, and beautiful names. There is none worthy of true veneration other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no grandeur other than his grandeur. No matter what kind of president, prime minister, country may be, all that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing belongs to the country, whether president or prime minister, they're signing executive orders, and make this great, and make that big, and make that amazing. Amazing, great, big, grand, all belongs to Allah. Nothing of dunya. Dunya is mal'oon. Dunya is a curse. It's just now sugar coated and made to look nice. As it explains also, whether we go to Dubai, we go to other countries, he says, whatever you see, they're all like glitter and glamour. It's all glass. The glass is put on the walls. He says that wall also is dolled up with some covering. He says, uske piche kachi inth hai. Behind that now is unbaked bricks. Even in that foundation, uske kachara hai. They put kachara in there and they just dolled it up a little bit, just to look nice. But is that real? It's fake. It's, and then they have to maintain it all the time. He says, subhanallah, Jannat is pure. That's genuine. Genuine gold, genuine silver. The seven in between is musk. You see, where are you going to compare? Where your heart is running for this? Which is all fake. He's lying to you. Is that real? Behind that is all now, is all dirt. Even when they're building it also. Life looks so beautiful. When they're building it, little bit seven comes in the clothing. What do you say? Got dirty. So we call it dirt also. And then all the whatever is finished, what you call it, rubble. Then I go chuck it away, throw it away. And we have to pay to chuck the rubble away also. Whereas Jannah, there is no rubble, there is no chucking and throwing. Everything is pure. Even the floor you walk upon is musk upon musk and scent and fragrance. Everything is pure over there. You say, where are you running behind this? One thing of dunya. And you say, I've got so much of dunya, so much of dunya, so much of dunya. He says, now you should be buying for the akhirat, competing for the akhirat. That is real and that is genuine. So loftiness, grandeur belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Veneration also. Veneration. This is very important. Many of us are stuck in this. Veneration belongs to Allah that we regard Allah to be the highest and lofty. Understand, my dear brothers. Nowadays, people get sweetness in talking about wealth. We're talking about somebody else's wealth. And we say, that guy is waxed. Like you can see mittu coming out from the mouth. His money, you're getting excited. What a car he's driving. What a car he pulled out. That is his car. But you're getting excited. But we enjoy talking. And then now, when you start talking really high-powered stuff, then you come out, and instead of the 500 most influential Muslims in the world, you come with Forbes. Forbes, eh? Top 20 billionaires. Hey, you know, took the first position now. That guy says he's dropped to second position. Hey, you're getting excited. You're getting excited, my ustaz says, but you act like a millionaire and you juggling all these coins in your pocket like you've got some millions in your pocket. I've got something also. Right? He says, you understand what the line is there in the parking lot, right? And you play with coins in your pocket, but you're talking big numbers. You're talking big. You read the article, they made the article. But you're getting enjoyment talking about it. He said, what kind of this is? Fake! But so much enjoyment. That country now they're doing this. This one is doing that. They signed so many $1 billion deals, etc. The way you enjoy people's money, veneration belongs to Allah. Not to all these things of dunya now. Not these things of dunya. They bought another property. What a luck they got. Hey, they're going to make big time money. He says, you take so much enjoyment in talking about money only. You're not taking one penny to the qabr. He says, qabr mein koi jeb bhi nahi hai. Koi almari nahi hai, koi jeb nahi hai. In the qabr, there is no wardrobe there. In your kafan, there is no pocket there. What are you going to take? You can't even have a small wardrobe there. Stash something there beforehand. Have my qabr ready, I'll put something there. So when I wake up, I got things sorted out. Nothing. Although some kuffar in the world are already doing that. They're already doing that. They believe they've got so much yaqeen or life after death. That they're building up their qabr also, putting now bed and pillows and everything there. And they're burying the person on the bed also. But there's nothing there. It's all your amal. So veneration only belongs to Allah. Don't make somebody in dunya so high also. That's what Fir'aun wanted. He would tell the people also, Ali Salim Mulku Misra. Ahadil anharu tajri min tahdi. Doesn't the kingdom of Egypt belong to me? He wanted them to talk about him. And all these rivers are running under me. He would say these rivers are running after under me. Allah's Qudrat, but the same waters Allah Ta'ala drowned him also. The same thing he thought he had power over, same thing drowned him also. So he wanted people to talk about his wealth, how much he had, etc. But by the, in the court of Allah, in the eyes of Allah, it has no value whatsoever. Veneration belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If any greatness or lofty position is granted to anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a gift and favor from him. This also has mentioned. He says, yes, acceptance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fame comes from the makhluk. Acceptance from Allah, it is pure acceptance from Allah. Where people will love him, they have no hate for him. They have no hate for him. And when it comes to fame, one day person is famous, and the next day is nameless. Nobody wants to know him. Now he's blackened his face. Right? He's closed up his account. And everything is finished. What happened to him? Overnight he was a hit, and then he got hit down also. Now we don't hear about him. What happened to him? That was dunya. When it comes to the friends of Allah, generations and hundreds of years later, we're still speaking about them. Hassan Basri, Junaid Baghdadi, Qabuliyat. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tafsir of Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasana. Ya Allah grant us in this holy life hasana. One tafsir of hasana is thana'ul khalq. Where the makhluk in the creation, Allah ta'ala will put your praise on their tongues. They'll praise you. What good akhlaq. What a nice person. How soft he is. That is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll praise you for your good sifat, for your generosity. That Allah Ta'ala put on their tongue. So that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some have stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is venerable due to his actions. Look at the actions of Allah, it's all perfect. And the creation holds him in great esteem due to his grandeur. So he's Al-Majid, he's Al-Majid. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to always remain in the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every moment of our life, inshaAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continue with our kitab. Evil glances and love affairs. The harms and the cures. But this only a real hakim of the heart will know. What will be the harm of these evil deeds and what will be the cures? Right? As we mentioned also, when it comes to our lives right now, we don't regard anything to be serious. There's no more kabair. But you have to check that within me, how much of pride do I have right now? How much of pride? In fact, there's a riwayat also that comes. We have different types of garments and garbs. They say one garb is called libasu shuhrati. The clothing of fame and name. Where a person wears clothing and they go purchase certain clothing because nobody else has this. Very expensive. And for show. Shuhra. So the riwayat says, in the day of Qiyamah, a person who donned any clothing with this reason, that you know how much I paid for this. You know how much this fabric is. People must look at me. They must admire me when I walk. When I walk in, the head must turn. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the person wear clothing of humiliation and embarrassment. Dunya, he wanted the name and fame, wanted heads to turn. Qiyamah's day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his head bow down. Now you'll be humiliated. He'll be dressed in terrible clothing. He'll be humiliated, embarrassed. Is there here I'm embarrassed? Allah Ta'ala keep with izzat. Qiyamah's day I got honor. There I got some maqam and status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to check in our hearts whether I've got pride. But to check pride is very difficult. Whether I have pride or not. Even just to think also, alhamdulillah, I'm very humble. I've got humility. I don't shout. I'm very cool and calm. That itself is pride. To think good of yourself. Like one example is given. A person comes out from the masjid. Comes out from the masjid and he sees some local people. They're sitting on the grass. Like how a local sit on the grass with their legs stretched out. They got a little bit of food, simple food next to them, eating. So he feels that if I go sit with them, if I go and sit with them, it'll be something of humility and humbleness. They say him sitting with them is pride. Because he thought now sitting there will make him humble. What it means? These people are nothing really. So if I sit with them, then I'll be showing that I'm humble. That's your pride actually. Is that just a thought? Is that just an action? It's a reality. It's a reality where we find our Kabir will say, like we should hear Mohammed Spadis Abrahimullah sitting on the Mimbura balancing, and he would say from the bottom of his heart, he said, by the Qasam of Allah, I believe right now, from all of you sitting here, I am the worst one. I'm really nothing. You all are everything right now. You all have come here with desire, with muhabbat and love. How much Allah Baak loves you all. He said, really, I am nothing. Allah Ta'ala, give me the reality also. Really, I am nothing. Just because of you all, Hazrat says to, yeah, what am I? I am nothing. When I get ears, my tongue will move. When people will listen to me, I'll talk. Otherwise, who do I talk to? It's all because of you all I'm talking. If you're not here, who will listen to me? All this knowledge and everything will just go into the qabr. The reality is you all. You all are the big ones. I got the big mouth and you all are the big ones. So how much of pride I have? How much of evil thoughts of people? Su'zan, badzan, thinking bad of people. And it just comes out sometimes. The ghibah, we just saw some status on the internet of theirs or something they sent out. Yeah, these people, they are like that. They just want to show everything. Very extravagant. Oh, we got no extravagance. We don't like to show anything. No, we are very humble. Already the ghibah started. Thinking down of people, thinking bad of people. We don't regard this as major sins. These are major, major sins. Just to think bad of people, to look down on people, have jealousy. Why they? Jealousy also burns a person inside. And how it burns people, when you hear somebody now, there's some school friend of yours, right, they wasn't so bright. They wasn't so bright in school, but Allah Ta'ala gave him a bright future. And now he made it in life, dunya and akhirat, he made it. And then he speaks, hey, but the guy made it. Yeah, but you don't know how he made it, man. You don't know. We know the stories. The jealousy is burning inside. Major sin. Why you bring him down? No, you don't know. And you make stories. What stories also? You don't even in the market what he's done and all that. People must make some story. But when I ask a person, reality is totally opposite to it. Totally opposite to it. But the jealousy is burning him inside. All these are major sins. And to go with all into the qabr, other than says, who's in a trinitam? When I know Zaya Sahib Rahmatullah, one of great ulama of our country that passed away, Rahimahullah, what a great ashiq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, mentioned about him. There wasn't a seerat kitab on the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which he hadn't read. He read so much of seerat and thousands of durood. It used to come on Thursday night. Every Thursday night, as a family, is doing on Quran Khatam. And durood would start after that. And all his students is going to thousands of durood. To the extent that one time in his dream, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, O Yunus, when are you coming to visit me? When are you coming to visit me? Imagine being invited like that. He told our Shaykh, Hazrat told us also, see the way he told me, he said, Abdul Hamid Sahib, he said, Mawlana, a person lives with a dirty heart in this world, doesn't even have the concern and fikr of cleaning his heart. Doesn't have the concern also, I have to clean this heart. I feel myself, I'm okay. My heart is alright, I'm clean. I don't think bad of anyone, I don't make ghibah of the day for anyone, I have no jealousy of anyone, I don't have evil thoughts of anyone. I think all this is about myself. I'm a good guy. Don't get angry also, I'm cool. All this, we have so much good thoughts of ourselves that we're convinced they really be so good. So he says the person doesn't even have the thought in his mind, in his heart, that he will reform his heart. He says, Monaka, when he goes into the qabr, what is he going to do? What is he going to do if he goes with the heart like that? He can't come back and clean it. He's going to do it now. When he goes with dirt in there, how is he going to clean that dirt up? Can't. It's done already. It's sealed. He said he doesn't even have the concern also. I'm going to clean this heart. He doesn't have the concern. He'll have to clean this heart. Clean out my amal. Whether I have ikhlas sincerity. Whether I have ikhlas sincerity in my amal. Hazrat taught us about namaz, wuzu, taharat. Now Hazrat says, how many of us now isha time, including myself? I mean, salam, salam, I just carried on my sunnah, nafil, witr. But it never strike my mind. Allah is my salah accepted. Ya Allah, did you accept my isha namaz tonight? Nothing. We didn't even think about it. We just read it and done. The ladies at home also, you finished namaz? It's not finishing namaz. The thought come to your mind, is my namaz accepted? Was it worthy of acceptance? Has it mentioned to us also, generally, Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, after he used to finish his namaz, he used to hold his face, to block his face. Somebody asked him, Hazrat, why after namaz you block your face? He said, haven't you heard the riwayat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? That the person who doesn't have concentration in salah, then the salah rises up to the heavens, and the salah is turned into a filthy, dirty rag. And the salah curses you, and it's thrown back into your face. He says, what do you do? He says, I block, Ya Allah, don't throw it back in my face. Ya Allah, I know it's dirty, don't throw it. Ya Allah, save me. Don't throw it back in my face. How they were to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have this fear, in a little, what do you say, cute way. How cute. Ya Allah, don't throw it back in my face. How Allah must be loving that also. Just in a small action. We don't even think about it. We read our namaz and imamat also, they say, ibadat is aqsa ghayati tadhallul. Tafsir wa bidabi, Imam Bidabi said, rahmatullahi alayhi. The ma'ana of ibadat is aqsa ghayati tadhallul. Ibadat means the highest level of being low. The highest level, like opposite to things. To have the highest level of the tadhallul of being low and having humility. That is ibadat. When my salah is being pride in me, I had 17 rakats isha today. The guy did it 2 rakats, I saw him. He went away early. He didn't learn. Already he came my heart. I'm calling my heart, I'm checking him. Hey, he didn't finish it. Even, which hankah is with? They don't learn these things. No. Allah shukran, Allah taught me. Weakling like me, you gave tawfiq. Yeah, I can do it. I don't have the ability. But all these things come and I think, I'm okay. Alhamdulillah. I got my ticket to Jannah already. Allah Ta'ala, give us understanding. There's major things in our lives. Major things. Adab has to come right, our respect, our etiquette, our temperament, our mizaj, our heart, our thoughts. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. We'll just read one point over here and then we'll terminate inshallah when it comes to the cures. So only a hakim really will know and see the signs of these evil glances and the love affairs. We see evil glances, love affairs is happening, but we don't see the evil effect of it. A real hakim, Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah, Allah Ta'ala blessed him, he saw and he told us from beforehand, 20, 30 years ago, that time wasn't as bad as it is now. He already told us, be careful, these things are going to happen. He says, then ponder, to get out of these love affairs and evil habits, then ponder for a few minutes, that the field of reckoning, the medan of Qiyamah has been laid out. You are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give an account of your deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, Allah ta'ala is addressing you. He says, ponder even just 2 minutes after Isha Namaz, Allah ta'ala is telling you, oh shameless one, did you not have shame that you left me and glanced at others and became inclined to a dying corpse? Only she is not dying. But you left me who is hayyun qayyum, la yamut, all living, everything in full control, will never cease to exist. Allah Jalla, you left me for something that become a corpse, that is dirt and filth. Don't you have shame upon yourself? Was this our right upon you? Did we create you for this purpose, that you attach your heart to others and forget us? That's why attach your heart to Allah. Give the heart only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did we grant you eyes so that you use it in haram places? O shameless one, you shamelessly used your eyes, ears and heart that were given to you by us in disobedience. Then ponder that the order is being given to the malaika for this criminal. Now you are already convicted. Hadrat says that all those limbs that you use now to break the command of Allah, they all will turn state witness. Your thighs, your hands, your private parts, your eyes, they enjoyed it in the worldly life, now they're talking against you. He says you'll get shocked. Are you all talking today? You all enjoyed it. You forced us. We came along with you. Now the tongue will be, mouth will be sealed. Now the limbs are talking now. All the limbs will start talking, they're spewing out. So then ponder that the order is given to the criminals. Khuduhu. Arrest this criminal. Warrant already is given out. Arrest this criminal. Faghullu. Chain him up. ثُمَّ الْجَعِيمَ صَلُّ Then throw him into the hellfire. Now, it's not a fairy tale. Just for us to understand, my dear brothers, you know you're doing 220 and the cop just has to come on the road and just wave his hand. We say, oh, finished. Finished, lock up speed. What do you say? He comes there, starts to the car, get out of the car, show me your license. You know you're gone already. You can't say, make a plan now. You're a problem. He's going to lock you up. Now, you know when you just see the hand coming out, how many heartbeats you miss already? Imagine Qiyamah's day when you hear khudu, catch him, arrest him, lock him up, take him in. Ya Allah, who are you going to call that time? Who's going to be there? Just settlement, enjoyment in dunya, so to say, poison. I got involved in, and all of this. Just that license is expired in a lockyup or any stolen vehicle, stolen car. How come you don't have your license? Oh, unless we see in dunya, and how gabarat we get. We're so terrified, ya Allah. When you go to the airport also, we've got a problem there. Imagine this now to enter into Jannah, and I'm going the wrong direction. Then humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Ya Allah, forgive me. Qiyamah, ya Allah, don't catch me like this. I know I slipped, ya Allah, but make tuba to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua for reforming my actions and a good end result. Seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. At least this meditation we can do, so that thing deters you from sending a break in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us so fit to make amal, inshaAllah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله تعالى شأنه الله 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 جل جلاله الله 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 Allah, 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 Jalla Jalalu. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله، لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم أنت خير الراحمين. يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا ذا القوة المتين، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين. ربي اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين. ربي اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين. ربي اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم، انك انت الاعز الاكرم. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، الاحياء منهم والاموات، انك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. هو كريم رحيم الله من اصلاح نفوسهم هي الله من اصلاح وحادثهم هي كريم رحيم الله. Remove all the muck and the dirt and the filth, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Give us pure and clean hearts, O Mahillah. And I'm brimming with your muhabbat and your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The love, O Mahillah, of good a'mal, of being obedient to you. O Mahillah, put the hatred for sin in our hearts, O Mahillah. Allah, give us hidayat, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Give the ummah the hidayat, O Mahillah. Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, sirat al-mustaqim, Ya Allah, our families, our children, our progenies. Ya Allah, the fitnas are waiting around us all the time, O Mahillah. Only you can give us pure and clean, O Mahillah. Only you can protect us, O Mahillah. Ya Allah, make Islam our complete lives, O Mahillah. Our iman, our amal, our akhlaq, our ibadat, our muamalat, mu'asharat, O Mahillah. Ya Allah, in all our avenues of life, O Mahillah, make our complete Islam. Ya Allah, teach us what is the correcting every step of our life, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Because you are true slaves, O Mahillah. You only to you, O Mahillah. Save us from nafs and shaitan, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Give us a life of afiyat, sihat, and salawat, and qabuliyat, O Mahillah. Follow our homes, O Mahillah, with nur, Sunnah, O Mahillah, with your ahkam and your laws and your commandments, with adab and respect, O Mahillah. You teach us, O Mahillah. Ya Allah, we are jahil, O Mahillah. We are ignorant, O Mahillah. Ya Allah, we don't know anything, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, you are muallim. Ya Allah, you teach us, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Teach us how to be human beings, how to be Muslims, O Mahillah, how to be mu'mineen, how to be true ummatis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we don't harm anyone, we don't hurt anyone. O Mahillah, make us a means of hidayat for the entire humanity, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Make our children beacons of hidayat, O Allah. Oh my Allah, save us from harming anyone, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Give us dard and pain for the ummah, O my Allah. Give us fikr and pain for the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my Allah. Protect the ummah, O my Allah. Ya Allah, feed the ummah, O my Allah. Clothe the ummah, O my Allah. Protect the iman, O my Allah. Oh my Allah, the children of Gaza, O my Allah. The masturat, the men, the families, O my Allah. Oh my Allah, you are the wakil, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you are the overseer, O my Allah. You are the protector, O my Allah. You are the zahir, you are the nasir, O my Kareem Rahim Allah. Oh my Allah, they only have you, Kareem Rahim Allah. The world has turned their back upon them, O my Allah. Oh my Allah, but you are, Ya Allah, you will never abandon us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, you are the, Ya Allah, you are the Rabb of the sinners also, O my Allah. Oh my Allah, you help them, assist them, O my Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, remove the enemies, O my Allah. Ya died and return for them, O my Allah. Ya Allah, shake the zameen beneath their feet, O my Allah. Ya Allah, drop the, Ya Allah, drop the jets, O my Allah. Sink the ships, O my Allah. O my Allah, let the plants fall upon themselves, O my Kareem Rahim Allah. O my Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, enough blood has been spilled, O my Allah. The tears have dried up, O my Allah. Oh my Allah, oh my Allah, you are Qadir Mutlaq, O my Allah. Ya Allah, your power has no bounds, O my Allah, has no limits, O my Allah. Ya Allah, unleash your power and your strength upon them, O Kareem Rahim Allah. Oh my Allah, Ya Allah, only because they believe in you, O my Allah. Only because they say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ya Allah, they've been cleansed out, O my Allah, they've been killed, O my Allah. Oh my Kareem Rahim Allah, take pity upon the Ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Kareem Rahim Allah, Ya Allah, that Ummah for whom Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam been hungry for months, O my Allah.
Umaylan, blood was spilled in Taif, Umayallah. Umaylan, Uhud, and Badr, the Qurban he went through. Oh my Kareem, Rahim Allah. You look at the tears and the effort and the tightness of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have put here upon his Ummah, Umayyah. Live the Ummah, spread the Hidayat, Umayallah. Let the tides turn with the Ummah of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Oh my Allah, these are the days and the season of your rahmat and your mercy, Umayallah. The best days of the year will begin soon as Zul Hijjah, Umayallah. Where the entire world, Umayallah, the house will be in Baytullah, Umayallah. Oh my Allah, make it the Hajj of the Ummah, Umayallah. Except the tears of the Ummah. The Ummah is broken, Umayallah. Ya Allah, the kuffar have consumed us in riba and haram. Then to which way do we turn? Then to Umayallah, we love you, Umayallah. Then to we love you, Umayallah. We love Nabi Akram, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love Baytullah. We love the Roda, Umayallah. Then to Umayallah, the Ummah still wants to come. Oh my Allah, purify our livelihood, purify our iman. Make it easy for the Ummah. Feed us only halal, save us from haram. Ya Allah, accept the labbaik of the Ummah. Except the du'as of Safa Marwa, except the du'as of the Hatib, except the du'as of the Multazam, Maqam Ibrahim, Rukni Yaman, Yal Hajr al Aswad, Yalla, the place of Arafat, Yalla, make this the Hajj of the Ummah, Yalla, when the tables and the tide will be told for the Ummah, Yalla, how many ulama, ikram, like in jails, Yalla, only because they spoke the haqq, Yalla. Oh my Kareem Rahim Allah, look at the tears of their families, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we are cowards sitting at home. Give us the himmat to stand for your deen. Ya Allah, they stood up, oh my Allah. They made the decisions, oh my Allah. They made imprisoned, oh my Allah. Release them. And they grant them freedom, oh my Allah. Then they go back to their homes, ya Allah, to their ma'amula, to the masajid. Ya Allah, to live the ummat once again, oh my Allah. Wherever the ummat in the world is being persecuted, oh my Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, you protect them, ya Allah. With the usr and difficulty, grant them usr, oh my Allah. Make it easy for them. And they had be attached to you, Kareem Rahim Allah. Oh my Kareem Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, the blood of the Ummah has been spilled, O my Allah. Make it a means of hidayat, O my Allah. For your rahmat to come down, O your protection to come down for the Ummah. Oh Kareem Rahim Allah, full our lives with deen, O my Allah. Save us the love of dunya that's killing us, O my Allah. This we are destroying our akhirat and our qabar, O my Allah. From the plenty of halal, O my Allah. Save us from israf, from extravagance, from wasting your ni'mas and being ungrateful of your ni'mas and your bounties, O my Kareem. Rahim Allah. Give us hidayat, O my Allah. Give our families hidayat, O my Allah. All those that are sick and ailing, Ya Allah, grant them shifa, Ya Aji, coming Muslimin, Ya Allah, relieve them from pain, O my Allah. So many have cancer, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. This body belongs to you. Ya Allah, decisions are from you, O my Allah. We only musafir in this world. Ya Allah, akhir, we have to come to you, O my Allah, to the qabr. Ya Allah, make it easy for them, O my Allah. Ya Allah, let Allah come into their heart and to their tongues, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, relieve them and make it easy for them. Give us some illnesses and bimaris and hospitals, O my Allah. Ya Allah, keep us striving in your path, O my Allah. Till our last breath, O my Allah. Ya Allah, wa sakiza, wa mashayikh, O my Allah. Our parents and our shaykh, grant them afiyat, sihat, and salamat. Ya Allah, keep them moving in your path with qabuliyat, O my Allah. Allah, marhumi fil qabar al nur. Make them maghfirat, raise them. Blow the cool winds of jannat upon them. Send down the bedding of jannat for them, O my Allah. Save them from adab qabar, adab jahannam. Ya Allah, keep us with iman and take us with iman. Ya Allah, make our children, Ya Allah, make them alimi haqqani rabbani, O my Allah. Make them true ulama, make them hufaz of Quran. Ya Allah, that they memorize the Quran with easiness and they're protected in their bosoms, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. And not only that, O my Allah, protect every command of Quran, bring it in their lives, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, give our children and all the children of the Ummah, Ya Allah, give the solid deen in your homes, O my Allah. Ya Allah, all those that are widows, all those that are unmarried, O my Allah. Ya Allah, give the suitable pious spouses, O my Allah, make it easy for them. Ya Allah, save us from quarrels and disputes within our homes, and muhabbat and love and understanding, O my Allah. Ya Allah, the wife knows her position, the husband knows his position, the children know their position. Ya Allah, they know their places in the home, Ya Allah, full our home with nur of taqwa, of iman, of Quran, and dhikr, and salah, and ta'alim, O my Allah. Save us from bihayai, immodesty, from jealousy, from pride, O my Allah. We parada into our homes, into our lives, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. You become pleased with us, O my Allah. Ya Allah, accept Ya the amal of the ummah, accept the hajj of the ummah, make it easy for the hujjaj, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Wa arina manasikana wa tub alina, innaka anta tawab al-rahim. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma hu ahlu. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين آمين سبحان الله. This is a reminder to the brothers also, the اجتماع
will be coming soon to our area in August, inshallah. We can start speaking about the ijtima. Jamaats are going out for 3 days. You can join the jamaats. Jamaats will be coming out next month, 14, 15 and 16th. From all the masajid, the big jamaats will be coming out to give a da'wah towards our ijtima. We are the hosts, as much as we can make dua right now. What is ijtima about, my dear brothers? Ya Allah, create such an environment that all the fitnas in our area come to an end. So much of noor and barakat, Ya Allah, to the ijtima, not only in Durban surrounding, entire country, entire continent. All these fitnas, zina, haram, riba, and sharab, and all drugs, Ya Allah, to the barakat of these amal, Ya Allah, usko khatam farma. Ya Allah, finish them off. Only noor and barakat spirit, this is what ijtima is about. So much we can make dua for it before that. How much we can spend towards it. How much we can go in the path of Allah. Tomorrow night, Shab Guzari also. Commit this for one program. Make some dua day also. Give our names to go in the path of Allah. Don't be afraid to be accepted. Give our name, Ya Allah, you accept me, Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala will take us out. At least we get some share in the ijtima. All noor and barakat will come out from there. This is the purpose of it. If the ijtima is accepted, Alhamdulillah, it will be easy for us to make amal upon taqwa. Environment will change. Then our children also can protect their iman. We can protect our iman. So we are the hosts. It's our responsibility now to go out and call everyone, like how we give da'wah to our homes. We don't forget anybody. If you forget someone, they say, oh, you didn't invite me. That's how we should take the ijtima also. Oh, you didn't invite me. What do we say? I got saved. Lucky they didn't come to me. Inna lillahi. Totally opposite. So we should have this fervor. Ya Allah, ijtima is coming. Ijtima is coming. Hajj is coming. Ijtima is coming. So many beautiful moments Allah Ta'ala has given us to present ourselves to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So start the talk in the home. The children must know also ijtima is coming. 14, 15, 8, 9, 10 August. And in June 14, 15, 16, jamaats will be going out all over the country to give da'wah for the ijtima. So make our niyat, see our local masjids where they're going to. Go and join them for a few nights in the path of Allah. Allah Ta'ala accept it, inshallah.